Timothy.
Before I get started, I'm going to talk. As I've been praying and preparing, if I had a title for today's message, which I'm going to continue on, it's called Seed and Ground. But real quick, I wanted to mention something because it's been on my heart. On Wednesday night, we started on the book of John. And a few of us that was there, it was powerful. The Lord really just touched and ministered my heart, even though I was the one studying for it. But the thing that really blessed my heart is, church history tells us that the Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John. He doesn't identify himself at all in the book, in that gospel. The person who identifies himself as the one who's written it calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. Isn't that amazing? Not the disciple who loved Jesus. But wouldn't it seem like that in our minds that should have been the way that it was said? The disciple who loved Jesus, I'm sure, he loved Jesus, but he identified himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Isn't that amazing? Then Wednesday we talked about his understanding of love, that even in First John, which has five chapters, the word love is mentioned 33 times just in that book. And that in the Gospel of John, John mentions love almost as much as Matthew, Mark, and Luke combined. What an understanding he had of God's love for him. Because in that first chapter, it goes on to say that Moses brought the law. Hey, the law is powerful. Even in Romans 7, Paul talks about, said, hey, does that mean the law doesn't matter? He says, no, but with the law, the power of sin was released in my life. And something about John realizing the heart of God. Didn't Jesus come to reveal God's love? He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he was calling him Father. And then to say the disciple whom Jesus loved. I've come to realize, when I realize how much he loves me, I can't help but lay down my life. Do you agree? I can't help but lay down my life. If I get into a trap of having to prove my love for him, it gets exhausting. You think of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, hey, I could give all I have to the poor and give my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, it doesn't profit me nothing. So actions doesn't mean it's love. We need God's love through the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And then if I was reading in Revelation chapter 2 about the church at Ephesus, we're talking about everything they did, and God was pleased with it. But he says, there's one thing I have against you. You've forsaken your first love. And as I began to think about that and pray about that, they'd separated their understanding of his love for them. It's his love for us. It says, because Christ loved, even before, he loved us before we loved him. Isn't that true? Now, even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as we get into the seed and ground, understanding, Father, help us by revelation, by your Spirit, to understand your love for us. Wow. When we understand that love, man, people are willing to lay down everything. They're willing to say, Lord, what do you have for me? They're willing to say, Lord, there's no bondage or sin that's worth hanging on. Man, you gave everything for me. Heaven gave its very best, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. For God so loved the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your love to your church in this hour, God. Your love for us. Instead of trying to just a religious form of saying, Lord, I've got to prove my love for you. What a trap that can be. But as the Apostle John knew, says, Lord, you've shown me how much you love me. Five times saying, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Father, let us realize that as we get into this. You know, I'm going to talk about seed and ground, and a lot of times people will say, wait a second, I've said this before, because there's so many ministers who can, even especially on TV, that they're in it for themselves. Just sow and you'll get back. Just give to my ministry and you'll be healed. Just give to my ministry, I'll send you a cloth. And I don't see many of those because, to be honest, I don't have TV, I don't have the cable or whatever, so I don't see many ministers on TV. I don't go look for them. I have certain people I follow and everything. But, you know, this morning, what I would say once again is allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I'm telling you, God blesses his people. He loves us. I'm saying he loves to bless his people. I know so many people that say, oh, that's not true, but yet they work many, many hours to be blessed. They work many, many hours in their job or their business, what? To be blessed, to be successful. It's okay to want to be successful in life, by the way. I mean, after all, he who made the world lives in us. The thing is the world can't bring happiness and joy, right? Only the Spirit of God within us, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Can you say that real quick 3 times? So being blessed is fine. It's good. I think the Lord wants to bless his people. There's many scriptures I'll show that. I've said before that I've met people that didn't have anything that had a love of money. They loved money. Then I met people that have had a lot of money that were great givers. Money didn't have them. And God, I think God trusted people like that can funnel monies into his purposes. And as it says in 1 Timothy, it says that he's given everything for our enjoyment. It's okay. Religion might say you can't enjoy life. You can't enjoy the bounties that God gives you. I don't believe that's true at all scripturally. The mystery of seed. You know, I grew up believing certain people had a corner on God. I was raised with church leaders who had an anointing I could not have. They had certain favor. They were just born that way. They had a favor on their lives. Many different churches as I grew up that I was that we went from many different denominations. And I felt like it was always like the pastors had a corner, a blessing, because of maybe the call and gift on their lives. So they had something I couldn't have. It's just something they were born with. They were born or raised on a different side of the tracks. God's hands and blessing were on them. Because after all, doesn't the scripture say, touch not God's anointed? Well, I hate to tell you, but we're all God's anointed. If the Spirit of God lives in you, you're anointed. We have different gifts and abilities, amen? Not all of us get up here and speak, but you got giftings and abilities and God has placed in you that I could not do. You have a sphere of influence that I do not have, and vice versa. So growing up, that there was just certain people that had an inside track on God. And pastors, and especially prophets, had an inside track that I could only dream of. They could hear God, but in a way that I couldn't hear him. But you know, in the book of Hebrews, in that first chapter, it says, in the past, God spoke to us through prophets. But now he speaks to us through his son, Jesus, that you and I can hear his voice. Now, I believe there's people that are gifted that can speak. I believe in prophecy. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. Those are made to encourage us. Right? Amen? But I also know the Word of God and the Spirit in myself is there to encourage me when I'm by myself and there's nobody else there. His Spirit encourages me. Amen? You know, we live in a time of great change right now. Not all of it's good. A lot of it. Morals and standards are vacillating right now. It's amazing. I can't hardly watch the news anymore. We live in a time where what evil's considered good and good's considered evil. I was watching something of Jack Hibbs where he was down at the border. Broke my heart. Where he was down at the border with Mexico, with a bunch of other pastors, and saw dead children. Can you believe that? He said the things that weren't being reported. He said it broke his heart what he was seeing. Listen to Ted Cruz, a senator, says that, you know, nobody gets into the United States from south of the border that doesn't come through the cartels. They got to pay the cartels money. And they end up being shipped across the United States, and they have to go into sex trafficking to pay the cartel. Not realizing what it was going to cost them. It breaks my heart. When I hear those things and praying for people, knowing that it's only God that can turn these things around, it's the church standing up and saying, Lord, let me understand your love so I can declare that to other people so they'll understand your love, Lord, for them. You know, one thing that I'm glad is that the Word remains forever. So if I had some points here, number one, the Word remains. Number one, the Word remains. Luke 21:33 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Amen? We're talking about the promises of God for you and I. It's about God's victory in our life. It means about the Holy Spirit working in our lives and the Word of God being a compass Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Did you know we can still, regardless of what's going on, we can still trust the word of God. It will still encourage you. It still will become life by the Holy Spirit, and it still will bring comfort to you. Amen? The word of God remains forever. You know, there are constants in nature, by the way, created with order and structure. Example, the law of gravity. As we move on here, hopefully I can keep your attention for a while. Amen? Everybody will stay awake. Maybe we need to turn the heat off and get it cold in here, hon. It's hard to fall asleep when you're shivering. You know, I can never tell if it's hot or cold in here because of my haircut. I'll say, man, it's cold, and somebody else with a mane, a thick mane, says, no, it's perfect. So don't ask me if it's hot or cold in here. I do not know. Example, there are certain things in nature. How about the example of the law of gravity? You know, gravity can be a blessing or a curse, by the way. There are, you know, and there's laws that can override those certain laws. The laws of thrust and lift, aerodynamics. You ever been in a jet and it's packed and you're flying and you're like, how is this happening? How is this staying up? You start praying, Lord, I pray this stays up. But you know, the laws of gravity will kick in if those wings were to fall off. It won't keep flying, right? What goes up must come down. But it also, it's gravity that keeps you in your seats right there. Aren't you thankful for gravity? In space, there's no gravity, right? That's fun, but that would only be fun for a while, right? Trying to get around with no gravity. How long would it take before you're like, hey, I've done enough somersaults, flips, I've done this and that. This is no longer fun. The law of gravity is a blessing. But try getting on the roof here and jumping off. Gravity will kick in right away. That won't be a blessing anymore, would it? But you know, number two, number one, the word remains. His word is true. But number two, there is the law of life, the law of faith. There's laws still. Aren't you glad we have laws in the land? Even though you're saved by grace and God's laws in your heart, amen, changing you. But I don't sit there and look at the law and say, okay, God, I'm looking at that to determine whether you love me or where I'm at with you. I do that with a fellowship with him. Amen? We do that by fellowship. But there's certainly laws. Aren't you glad? Right now, many cities, they think, here's the answer to our struggles with lawlessness. Let's get rid of the law. Let's go into utopia. But we found out when you don't have laws or those who keep the law in the land, it brings destruction, right? I'm starting to hear some of these leaders in some of these liberal cities all of a sudden saying, I know last year I said we need to cut $1 billion from the police force, but I'm saying now that we need to reconsider as crime has gone up. There's a law of life in Christ Jesus, the law of faith. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life, listen, brothers and sisters, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This law of life in Christ Jesus has canceled out the law of sin and death in us. When we've given our lives to Christ, amen? When the finished work of the cross, when we accept that by faith, we are saved by faith. Is that not right? Amen? 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 6 says, such is the confidence we have toward God. Did you hear that through faith? Such is the confidence that we have toward God through faith. I mean, do you have confidence towards God? If you're going to have confidence towards God, it says it's going to be by faith. It's not going to be by your feelings. It's not going to be by the list of do's and don'ts that you can obtain. It's going to be by faith. Faith is powerful. Even if you go to Hebrews 11, it's the hall of faith. All those that were in the Old Testament says these were justified by faith. It was their faith that brought them victory. Amen? Such is the confidence we have toward God through Christ. Not that we are adequate in ourselves so as to consider anything as having come from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. Amen? Who also made us adequate as servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Listen here, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Isn't that amazing? The law never can't justify you. You can look at it and say, yep, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. I should do this. I shouldn't do that. But as Paul says in Romans 7, he says, man, when the law, I didn't even know what coveting was. And then when the coveting was revealed to me in the law, then the sin in me just went rampant. It brought the power of sin to my life. But that doesn't say that coveting is right or that it's okay. He was saying that, hey, then it's when it goes into Romans 8, it says, hey, I can't do this on my own. It's only by being born again by His Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. How many people in here we have walking in life? You're not perfect yet, amen, but you're walking in life. You're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, amen? And we're walking in confidence. It says to have confidence in Him. Did you know where to have confidence? It also says in Hebrews that we enter His throne room with boldness or confidence, knowing that He won't reject us, there, knowing that He's there in our time of need, there, knowing that He hears our prayers, amen, knowing that He remembers that we're dust and we have struggles, but yet we're still His children. Amen. Our confidence in the law of the Spirit, rooted and grounded in Christ. This is in Romans 3, 27 and 28. Where then is boasting? It has been excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No, but by a law of faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, in faith, there are reliable laws that govern faith. Can we talk about a few of those? Pastor Lee used to call it, we're sitting in the bubble bath of grace. You remember that? And people not going any further. I love the bubble bath of grace, by the way. I love that I can always come back and say, thank you for your grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm glad when I have my struggles, I can come back and say, Father, I'm leaning into your grace. Lord, I'm daring to have confidence in you during my struggles. I dare to have confidence to you in the middle of my failures. And when we put our confidence in Him in the middle of our failures, I'm telling you, that's when growth comes. That's when the enemy can't play tricks on your mind anymore. Because what happens, a lot of people, they start struggling or things are not going right in their lives. They start thinking, okay, what do I need to do to bring the balance back? There's got to be something I can do to play my part here. But the truth of this, God wants us to lean into His grace. Lean into Him and say, Lord, yeah, I know I got some struggles here. Or I know my heart still needs to be healed here, but I have confidence leaning into you that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Romans 3:20, I want to read that again. Where then is boasting? It has been excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by a law of faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. But there are reliable laws that govern faith I want to talk about real quick. And they are evident by the word. So the first thing I want to talk about is hearing. We talked about this. Hearing increases faith. How do we know? Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You know, the word brings faith. As we read His word, because it's depositing the seed of the word of God in us. Sometimes, well, things are going on, and the last thing we go to is to Him. Mind you that Jesus is the word. It says the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the word. He is the power in the word. He is the power in the word that changes the life or transforms a life, or strengthens a person in this life. Amen? So faith comes from hearing. And hearing what? KYCA? Sorry, I don't know where that came from. I'm not saying anything wrong against KYCA. Faith comes by hearing the news, by watching Newsmax. No, faith cometh by hearing, in hearing by the word of Christ. Did you know that the word of God increases and encourages your faith? It's not meant to just put a line upon line. Okay, yeah, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this, I can do that. We don't learn the word of God so as to please God for our doing. No, we learn and press into the word of God because he is the word. And it's what transforms us. It's what changes us, amen? It's what brings us encouragement. It's what builds up our faith. Faith, amen? So there's been times where I've been training myself. It's like, I don't want to read the word right now. I'm sick of it right now. I've read it 8 hours. I prepared for a message 8 hours this week. But sometimes something's going on in my life, and I said, man, I'm going to his word. And I'll go into his word, and just brings his presence, and his peace comes, his encouragement, his truth. Because I've learned to read the word not because I can add a list of things to do and not do, but going to the word saying, God, reveal yourself to me. God, continue to plant that seed in my life. God, continue to encourage me. God, thank you for this word, the word of God, whether it's in your Bible, like a Bible, or if you've got it on an iPad or your phone. Amen. I have to admit for myself, I use my phone and my iPad for so much of studying now, because there's like, I can go to the King James, I can go to the New American Standard, I can go to the Young's Translation, I can go through all these different translations of the word and just glean from it. I love it. So there are reliable laws that govern faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And then 2 Corinthians 4:13, I've heard these things, so I'm just reiterating. I'm putting it out there again. I'm encouraging you. I'm reminding you. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Speaking the word of God increases your faith. It says in 13, this is Paul, says, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Faith, when Paul went somewhere, did he just stand there and just do miracles? No, he declared the word of God. He declared the gospel. Amen. To the Corinthians, he said, I saved to know nothing amongst you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. The simple gospel. Declaring it was changing lives in Corinthians. Amen. So knowing that the word of God, reading the word of God brings faith, hearing the word of God, and then speaking and declaring the word of God. I've learned if you're in a tough situation, me and Jean have talked about this, and many years ago, I hate to say it now, but she would say, and I'm a Christian, right? And you've heard me say this, that she would say, hey, we've got to believe God. And I say, well, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to believe what I see. And I'm telling you, it didn't turn out good for me. So what I started doing is speaking to those things that are not as though they are. Say, Lord, thank you for the work you're doing in my family. Thank you for the work you're doing in my children. I declare the power of God over them. Me and my household shall be saved in Jesus' name. So I'm declaring the truths of God, because the promises of God are yes and amen. But how will you know the promises if you're not hearing them, or seeing them and reading them, or hearing them and then declaring them? The enemy hates it when he's pressing against us and we give him the promises of God. He hates it when we're declaring the truths of the word of God, because his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. He hates it. You know, if I've come to learn too, I could be around a married couple for some time, and I'll know how that marriage is going just because of how I hear. What I hear the man saying to the woman, I can tell. In the speaking, the declaring the word of God over our wives, our children, our wives over our husbands, amen? What you're saying is seed landing somewhere. Are you giving encouragement, even when you don't feel like it? You know, as God has been speaking to me about this, of course, a few days ago, me and my wife were in the vehicle, and I like to backseat drive. It's a problem I have. Many generations of backseat drivers in my family. It was something I was just taught. But my wife doesn't appreciate it. You know, say, you got to part like this. Wait, what are you doing? Where are you going? And pretty soon we're in an argument. And then I start hearing what's coming out of my mouth. Just driving. Like, man, I haven't arrived, Lord. I'm thinking, maybe I just can't drive with her right now. Can't keep my mouth shut. My thing is it's not a perfect, we're not perfect at the things we say or whatever. Or sometimes we can get involved in hearing things that maybe we shouldn't, that don't bring faith, they bring anger. If I listen to the news, it brings anger, wrath in my life. I'm like, where's that militia? Where do I join? Being careful what we say. You know what? As you notice, as you change the things that you're saying, I'm telling you, things start changing in relationships. Things start changing in your relationship with the Lord, because now you're not speaking doubt, you're speaking faith. You're planting seed. Satan hears what we're saying. There's times where there's things that going on in me and I'm struggling. I don't say them out loud. People say, well, that seems superficial, religious. Well, I keep it to myself. I know there's principalities and powers out there. I know there's enemies that's seeking whom he can devour. He loves to hear negativity, man. He parks right there. So let me help you out here. But when he hears faith being spoken and the truth and the love of God, he says, I got to get out of here. He'll keep pressing against you. He'll test you on that. But when it says, when you resist the devil, he will flee. Amen. Draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. And the things that come out of our mouth, man, invite the presence of God in our homes. Invites the Holy Spirit to work within us. Amen? He never leaves us or forsakes us. But we could stop it up by the things that we're saying and doing. Amen. There comes a point where faith takes action. Acting without faith is foolishness. Actions with no faith is just acting. But the wonderful things in the first part of Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active. So understand that what's living in you is living and active. Amen? The word of God is powerful. It's just not somebody saying, okay, I'm going to say positive things. I've been in business seminars. They say, okay, just say these things and be positive. I've come to realize, well, if it's going to depend on just me being positive, or my own wisdom or strength, I can't do it. It doesn't last. But when I'm speaking the positive truth of the Word of God, amen, that's where it's living and active. Living and active. Practice it. Say, Lord, thank you this day for blessing my husband or my wife. Thank you for your hand upon them in the name of Jesus. Thank you for restoration of my children. Father, thank you for blessing my business. I said, Lord, thank you for blessing my business. Lord, thank you for blessing my job. God loves hearing that. That means we're putting our confidence in him. You're saying in your place of employment or whatever, saying, Lord, I'm trusting you that I'm going to be a blessing there by the things that I say, that I'm going to grow in you, and you're going to bless me here. Even as Joseph was imprisoned, and he could have had a bad attitude. He said, man, I've only been like the best employee ever. This guy's wife hits on me and I find myself in prison. Now, would that give you a bad attitude? But you know, he knew about the love of God. He had already had a dream and a vision in his life. He understood what was going on. He says, I'm not giving up or giving in. I'm not going to have a bad attitude. If he'd had a bad attitude in that prison, they wouldn't have promoted him to where he was even within prison. People don't get promoted with bad attitudes. That's not how it works, does it? But he had the attitude of God within him, the joy of God within him, even where he was at, and God promoted him. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. You know, number three now. Let's look at laws of nature, and then we'll go there. It says, and then we'll go into the spiritual. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, it's seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Those are promises. Did you know that? As sure as we're standing here, someday here in the near future, it's going to get cold, right? It might even snow, right? So the things that, and he says that seed time and harvest. So always, you know, everything that you look at your clothes right now. Did you know that came from a seed? Really? You look at a baseball bat. Did you know that came from a seed? An acorn that turned into an oak tree. And then they took that tree and they harvested baseball bats or something else. Right? Since God made this world, there's been seed time and harvest. By the way, it's gotten cold and it's gotten hot. Where the world has turned things around, they want to take focus off of the promises of God, which are, it's going to get hot and it's going to get cold. There's going to be summer and there's going to be winter. Amen? I think about, you know, the hottest it's ever been in Phoenix was way back in 1993. Did you know that? 122 degrees. I remember because I was in Phoenix that day. So the record hot day in Phoenix was back in 93. Will that someday be broken, that record? I'm sure. That day, I remember reading in a newspaper, it didn't say Lake Havasu, it said Bay Havasu. It said 132 degrees. Brothers and sisters, it gets hot and it gets cold. As sure as we're standing here, the promise of God saying, hey, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cool, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. I'm going to stick with the promises and the word of God. I want to take care of my earth. I get that. But I'm not going to sell my soul out to a false religion of an earth that's passing away anyway. And all things are going to be made new. Amen? You know, God has control of the weather, by the way. Listen to Amos 4:7. It says, furthermore, I withheld the rain from you while there were still 3 months until harvest. Then I would send rain on one city, but on another city I would not send rain. One part would be rained on while the part not rained on would dry up. That's what I love praying that, saying, Lord, thank you for bringing rain to our area. He's the one that controls the weather. I remember Pat Robertson, this is 20, 25, maybe 30 years ago, there was a storm headed towards Florida, right? Hurricane. And he got together with all the Christians they could, and they prayed, and that thing turned directions. I remember that like yesterday. It turned directions. I'm telling you, God controls the weather. We thank God for the rain. Amen? I said, we thank God for the rain. It's hard for me sometimes to thank Him for the wind here. But Lord, we thank You for the weather. You know, and in the New Covenant, Acts 11:27-28, this is interesting. Now at this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and indicated by the Spirit that there would definitely be a severe famine all over the world. And this took place in the reign of Claudius. And if you read on, what they started doing then is they started gathering food and necessities and helping the church during that time. God told them what was coming upon the world during a wicked ruler in the world. I think God uses things to try to get people's attention. Amen? He's the one that has the control all over the world. But what happens when people turn away from God, they make up things that aren't true, that aren't in the Word of God. They say, hey, this is why this is happening, and this is why that's happening. Never giving consideration that God runs our weather. God has control over the entire world. Amen. You know, Romans 1:25 says, for they exchanged the truth of God for falsehood, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The creature being man, worshiping the intellect of man, worshiping man's capability. not realizing in the United States that this nation is blessed not because of the intellect of man, but because of the blessing of God on it. He's the reason why this country was blessed. And now they tried to remove everything that has to do with God. Try to remove anything that has to do that he was the one that blessed this nation. It wasn't ourselves, amen? It was him. It was him who blessed us. Exchange the truth of God for worshiping man. And so when we see the things here, anything that's not rooted and grounded in the word of God is a lie, by the way. Because it says his word endures forever. The truths of God. God knows this earth. God knows the last day of your life and my life. Amen? I'm not saying we don't take care of this planet. But man, we're just aliens here, the word of God says. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? Colossians chapter 3 says, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is not my permanent home. We're in this tent. How? If you're here 100 years, that's nothing. It says our life is but a vapor. Amen? We're here and we're gone. We're here and we're gone. So I want to declare the truth of the word of God while I'm here. Amen? I don't want to get wrapped up in the lies of man. Amen. There will always be seed time and harvest in the law of the Spirit, by the way. Genesis 1:12 says, the earth produced vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. Everything coming, remember I mentioned everything coming from a seed? You and I are a seed, by the way. Did you know that? You know that. Everybody in here is an adult, right? You think of the 50 to 150 million sperm seed was released and fighting to reach an egg that only one will fertilize. Isn't that amazing? 50 to 150 seed sperm racing towards an egg. It's an absolute miracle. Even the women, you know, even the woman's body releases white blood cells to try to kill off the sperm. I mean, that not just getting to that egg, but having the woman's body trying to kill it. Only the strongest. Only the strongest, approximately 10, reach the egg, and then only one makes it inside the egg to produce a baby made in the image of God. Did you know you were more than a conqueror even by the time you were born? Wow. Didn't mean to embarrass you, Dan. You were a conqueror. Just think at what it took for you to be here. Determine the color of your eyes, right? You're how tall you were. More than a conqueror. An overcomer. God made you an overcomer even before you were born. And you know what? There's spiritual laws regarding seed as well. Seed time and harvest. 1 Peter 1:23. I'll try to hurry here. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living, enduring word of God. See, when you were born again, there was seed planted in your spirit. When the Holy Spirit came and you were born with an incorruptible seed, that are born again with an incorruptible seed. John 3 saying you must be born again. And that religious leader saying, how can you do that? By the Spirit and water. And there's the scripture saying the washing of the water of the word. You're born again because of the word of God that you heard. It entered your heart and produced fruit. Even Paul saying, how can they hear unless somebody's sent? So it's the word of God. The power of words cannot be underestimated. Seed, 1 Peter saying, imperishable. Galatians 3:29 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Being born again, you are a child of God. You are his seed. You've been, as Pastor Lee used to preach, you've been reborn. Amen? You got God's DNA in you. Everybody having a DNA of things packed inside of you, gifts, abilities, things that God has for you coming forth from that seed that's in you. Amen? You're not going to ask me to get up there and sing a solo. It's just not in the seed of what's in me. I can sing so low you can't hear me. You get that? If I'm with somebody and they sing off tune, I can't help it. I just go right with them. Can't even tell the difference. Just sounds as pretty as a bird to me. Can't keep a beat. Drums look like they would be cool to play, but I just can't keep a beat. Different things and ability God has packed in us. Let me tell you something. You and I were meant to plant seed. If you're seed and you grow into God, everything that has seed reproduces. Did you know that? Everything that has seed reproduces. See, if the Spirit of God lives in you, there are people who say, well, I can't do anything, and I can't do this, or I don't have any abilities. Those are the ones God loves to use with the Spirit that's inside of them. God made you to reproduce in areas because you're seed, because you have the living Spirit of God living in you, alive in you. God is alive. If there's areas that struggle, look to God and say, Lord, make me alive in those areas. Or bring me to life in some areas that maybe have been dead for a while. His Spirit lives in you. He'll bring it to life. Or you're going through a difficult time, continue to plant that seed. As we'll see right here, because you're going to reap a crop. You and I were made to plant seed. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 in the Passion Translation. This is powerful. God will never be mocked. It says God will never be mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. I like that, though. See, some people say, oh, man, God's not mocked. I'm glad God, that when I see that scripture, I think, thank you, God. What I'm planting is going to bring forth fruit. Or the things that I'm saying and doing and the things that I'm saying right now are like seed. It'll land on people's heart. If their soil is ready for it, their heart. Next week, we're going to talk about soil. But it says right here, God is not mocked. Thank you, Lord, you're not mocked. For what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. People say, well, I just see bad harvest coming forth. Well, start praying for crop failure. God is in the business of crop failure for things that have been bad, that have been planted. Whether it be by a parent, an ex-wife or husband, or whatever, God can bring crop failure and you start planting the truth now. Amen? The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. Thank God. Let me say something. A lot of people, things will happen or go wrong in their lives, and they'll say, well, God is disciplining me. Maybe it's just that you're reaping what you planted. Amen? If you go rob a bank, an extreme example, you're going to go to jail. That had nothing to do with God. You're reaping what you sowed. So much. I'm not saying that everything that happens in our life is our fault. Not at all. But I can say that when you're trying to overcome those things that have damaged your life, a big part of that is what you're planning now. Because what will happen is people hold on to things that have happened or where they're at, and they'll keep planting that bad seed. Where was God when that happened? Where was God when this? Why did God allow that? And they're not realizing they're planting, continue to plant bad seeds of doubt instead of saying, Lord, thank you for making me an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, where I am now, I won't always be. The struggles I have now, Lord, you're growing me out of those things. I'm not going to beat down on myself. I'm going to lean into the confidence I have in you. And as he says, sure enough, whatever you plant is what you're going to harvest. Wherever you plant, you will harvest. The good thing is, as I pray for crop failure in areas of my life, and I thank him as I continue to plant the good things. I've learned with relatives and friends and different things, I start thinking, man, God's got great things for you. Instead of saying, hey, man, you're in trouble. And they might be. I start planting the truths of God. He loves you. His spirit wants to do a great work in you. And as I plant those things, I've noticed things now, fruit coming up. Things coming out and changing people's lives. As they say, you know what, maybe I can have confidence in God. maybe I am the disciple whom Jesus loved. Maybe I am deeply cared for and loved. As long as you're trying to do things to get his approval, you'll never have confidence. But as long as you're planting things, the Word of God, declaring it, you're sure to have a harvest, by the way, because the Word of God promises that. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. Amen. John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit who gives life." Wow. "The flesh provides no benefit. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." There was many during that time that would not hear him. But those who did experienced a born again, right? When Jesus died and rose again, they were ruddy. They accepted him. There were probably some of those 3,000 when Peter first spoke, amen? Their hearts were ruddy soil. And then Galatians, let's finish it off. It says 6, 9, and 10 says, "And don't allow yourself to be weary in planting good seeds. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you've planted is coming." Seed, time, and harvest. You might be where you're in the time period. It takes time. Amen? So don't allow yourself to be weary in planting good seed. For the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others. Do you hear that? Especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. You know, Job, way back in Job, one of the oldest or maybe the oldest book in the Bible, says in 4:8, Job says this, "According to what I have seen, those who plow wrongdoing and those who sow trouble harvest it." It's always been the same. So what I've tried to do as I've grown in God is sow peace. Sow peace into others that they could experience his peace. The world needs to experience his peace. There's nothing like peace in today's world to change somebody's lives. As I declare the truths of God, what's going to bring peace? Give your life to Jesus. What's going to bring me peace? Trust in his promises. What's going to bring peace to my children? You keep holding them up in prayer. You keep declaring they're coming home. So my question is just to ask ourselves today, what kind of seeds are you planting? Your words being as seed as much as anything. Proverbs 18:20-21. "With the fruit of a person's mouth, his stomach will be satisfied." Wow, the things that he says produce fruit. "He will be satisfied with the product of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit." By the Spirit of God, thank you, Lord, that we're learning to love life out of our tongues. You know, one thing is that sometimes people are raised, a lot of things have been planted in them, right? Trouble, bad things, people saying you'll never amount to anything. If you struggle with that, start declaring crop failure and start listening and declaring the promises of God in your life. Because God loves to work against the odds. He loves it. If God's calling you to something, you're confident that you've got it made, doesn't sound like God's calling. He loves to where we got to depend on him. He loves it to where he said, "God, this isn't going to happen unless you do it. I can't do it in my natural." Amen? He loves that. Our actions, our service to one another is seeds. People that are working in Sunday school are planting seeds. Amen? Those that are encouraging people that they meet that need the Lord, they're planting seeds. People in their marriage, they're planting some type of seed, good or bad. Amen? Friendships are planting seeds. And then also our money is a seed we plant. Don't turn me down. Don't turn me off now. I'm going to give you scripture. I love being a giver. God's taught me that. I had a grandfather who wasn't perfect, but he taught me about giving. And he was a giver to things in need, so I saw that. I saw him do it. He taught me about that. If the church was in need, he could write a check. And nobody had to know about it. But he would tell me, because he was trying to teach me something. Teaching me that you cannot outgive God when you're planting in good soil. God, what's it say? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8 as the worship team comes up front. Now we're going to be done almost right on time. Just 5 minutes late. Should I be like Pastor Lee and have four closings? You guys got till 12:15? If it was good enough, right? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly, this is Paul. This is in the Bible. This isn't in the book of Chad. And let me tell you something, this isn't something to condemn you. It's something to encourage you and challenge you. Hey, you got the Spirit of God in you. You should be able to be challenged. The Spirit of God in us loves to be challenged in growth. So don't take this as condemnation at all, please. Please. When God is speaking to you, never take it as condemnation. Take it, Lord, I want my heart, I want to hear what you're saying to me. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. The wonderful thing is being born again. God is expecting a harvest from you. And he's going to get it. You know why? Because he lives in you. The law of the Spirit of life lives in you. As he stirs you, he's going to say, hey, I want you to start planting seed. It can be the words you're saying. It could be where God's asking you with your to take a step on in your finances. Nothing like breaking the fear of lack in your life as giving, I've found out. Nothing like that. Being a giver. And I go back to, I love what one of Pastor Lee's son told me when he was living in California and he barely had enough to live off of, but he was tithing and giving, and he said, I couldn't wait to see how God was going to provide for me because I didn't even have enough money for food. And then he would start telling about all the things of God's provision. Oh man, God loves that. It brings excitement into your life. It takes the load off of you to say, man, it's all on me. God doesn't want it to be. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Sowing is part of that, being a sower. So your God is expecting a harvest from you, and he's going to get it from you. Not doing it out of to bring condemnation. You can say, God, thank you. Purpose, ability, things that are going to be working out of me, Father God, they're going to be planting seed. Because you are a seed, and if you have a seed, there's a harvest coming from you, right? If you have that oak tree, what falls off of it when it matures? Acorns? Acorns, right? Depending on where you're from. Acorns. It's fruit. And who produces that fruit? You water it with the Spirit of God. You know, when you come to church together, he's watering. When you're encouraging some other people, God's actually watering you. When you're reading his word, saying, Lord, reveal yourself to me, he's watering you. When you're on your way to work in your vehicle and you're worshiping him with that fabulous voice, right? He's watering you, always speaking to you. And the thing is, you don't have to carry this weight like, well, what am I going to do? Let him speak to you about planning, about what he wants you to do. That's the wonderful thing. It's the law of the Spirit of life. We're leaning into him with confidence. And he speaks to us. Because we're already rooted and grounded in him in love. We're already born again. So that part's taken care of. Now it's saying, God, the purposes. What you're going to do through me. And it's all about planting seed. Can we stand up together? Next week, we're going to talk about ground. We're going to talk about ground. Amen. Do you love him today? Amen.